Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, during the week, there were urgent appeals made by medical staff in Ireland and around the world seeking donations of PPE, that's personal protective equipment. These pleas were targeted at the likes of construction, pharmaceutical and food industry workers, but others are doing their bit to help as well. Now, one of those others is Dan Mooney. He started pursuing 3D printing as a hobby a couple of years ago, but since last week, he's been manufacturing face shields for use in one of the country's hospitals. Dan, how you doing? Are you all right?
Dave, how's things?
Things are great.
Having me on.
Okay, let's take a look at all this there. How did all this come about? I mean, you're a 3D guy and then suddenly this, right?
Yeah, so I'm, I suppose, a bit of a nerd geek. I work for a computer game company in town and pretty much I've been into 3D printing for a while, and I seen the company that made my printer was working with the Ministry for Health in the Czech Republic to supply visors to their staff. They went down really well, so they decided to make the design available for everybody and kind of start up a pan-European approach for anybody who can get involved and help out. So I made a couple of them. A neighbor of mine was a doctor, so I decided to give him a shout and say, look, I've got two of these. You want to have a look and tell me if you think they're any use? I didn't really think that he'd use them, but I said, look, I chanced my arm, and he took them, brought them into work, gave me a call a couple of hours later, and it's just like, how many can you make? And I just kind of took off from there.
And is there a prototype? I mean, do you have like a design book? Is there? Do you start A and stick like you're making a? I mean, like, sorry, how do you do it?
So I suppose there's two different ways to it. One is in terms of the design we have. Yeah, we're now on. We've had three different versions so far that we're working from, and I think there's multiple different versions floating around at the moment. But I'm sticking to one particular model. We've been taking feedback from medical professionals of things to change, how to make it more comfortable, how to print it faster, and just kind of make it work better. So we've been kind of adapting and updating. So about every 2 days, there's a slightly different model available. And we've actually just submitted this to the Irish government for the thumbs up to produce these without kind of anyone getting in trouble and making sure that they're in line with what the medical staff want. In terms of how do we produce them, or suppose how a 3D printer works, is that it prints molten plastic through this like tiny nozzle on a metal bed, kind of compared to like normal printing you would ink on a piece of paper. And the design itself is broken down into little layers by a computer. So this lays down the plastic in layers, and it just moves up a little, just a fraction of a millimeter each time, and just repeats it over and over with like a slightly different design each time. So kind of like how a flipbook would work for an animation.
All right,
that, yeah, you would do for a kid.
And like, what are we talking here? I presume we're talking single use, are we? And if so, like, even define single use here.
So at the moment, we're treating these as single use, which is what I've been told is frontline staff are putting these on and they're keeping them on for the entire day. They're first line PPE, which means their design is to protect the goggles and the face mask that the staff wear to get a longer use time out of the essential protective equipment that they have. So we're throwing these away. Unfortunately, they're having to throw them away every day, which means that one hospital alone is using over 100 units per day. So it's a lot. We have a lab in the Czech Republic who are currently working with the virus itself to find a way under medical supervision how to clean these down and possibly make them reusable. So the goal is that, like right now, I'm maxed out trying to help a single hospital. But if we can make these reusable, even if you got two or three wears out of it, it would mean that we'd be able to expand our reach and
help
more.
And you, like, maxed out in terms of production, and I'm sure you can tell other people how it's all done too, and there could be a load more. But are you producing, what, up to about 100 a day? No?
At the moment, I'm on 100 a day, and we're hoping by mid-next week to try and get up to 200 a day. I originally started off at 16 with one printer, and work got behind me after the hospital had said that they would need more and bought me seven more. So now we're up to over 100 a day, and we're aiming for the 200 mark.
Okay, well, you described yourself earlier as just basically a geek who loves making things as a hobby. So yeah. You have the 3D computer printer for the past few years to make little bits, etc. And the point is that, you know, to meet the demand is going to be virtually impossible, but you can just do the best you can. But how do you actually afford to do this?
I've been very lucky. So I had some material there. When I started last Thursday week, I was just kind of using my own printer and the spools of plastic I had. I was kind of running low on material, and I got in touch with Work Riot Games, where I work, where they have something for all staff. And if we make a charitable donation, they would match it. So I said, look, it's not a charity, but would you help me out? They were really keen, and our managing director got in touch, said, what do you need? I said, look, realistically, I need more printers. And literally, he says, right, get what you need. So I spent €7,000 last week on 3D printers and about another €1,600 on materials. And we just went hell for leather trying to do our little bit.
Okay, so were you buying stuff from Art and Hobby kind of places at one stage, or are you still doing
that? Yeah, so realistically, the clear lens is acetate, which is just a clear binder cover that you get from Art and Hobby stores. And people across the country have been using these. Since the lockdown, we've kind of struggled because obviously you can't get into these shops right now. So we're trying to find wholesalers who are still running or still able to deliver these. At the moment, I'm using an art company called EM Evans, who are making their stock available for us to use, but they're about to run out. So we're kind of on the hunt for anyone and everyone who have acetate to make them available to the community so we can continue to make more of these.
Okay, well, then, I mean, like, the only option, obviously, is a large minimum order, I suppose, from a bigger manufacturer. And this costs, like, I mean, money. Is money forthcoming if this is as successful as the hospitals and the doctors say it is?
I would say so. I think realistically, we're here as hobbyists, and 3D printing is a rapid prototyping method. So we're able to get up and running from the minute you say go. Whereas realistically, what we're hoping is some industry leader will, or someone who has the equipment, can retool and start making hundreds or thousands of these per day in Ireland. Realistically, any company with a vacuum former should be able to do this. But it does take weeks to get molds ready. So what we're hoping as a community is that we can at least ease the pain until industry leaders and the big guns can get in there and kind of say, right, lads, thanks a million for your help, but we've
okay,
got it.
But like, if you were at 16 a day at one stage there, you know, which is obviously not nearly enough, but a single printer is what it is. Basically, you need a heck of a lot more 3D printers.
Yeah, you definitely do. But 3D printing is a slow process in terms of how it works. It definitely gets us going. I'd say collectively in Ireland, we're probably making about 500 or 600 at the moment per day. We could get more printers, but effectively that's going to run out. It caps out on how much value we can do. Realistically, you need a professional company to come in and take over.
Okay, well, now you've explained like what a 3D printing kind of, it prints like you'd print, you say, a normal page, but kind of like a flickbook thing just starts building. Mm-hmm. Are there other people in Ireland doing similar activities?
Yeah, there's people across it. I was talking to UCL today in Limerick. There's a crowd in Tullamore that are doing it. There's there were four or five during the week. Now there's 15 or 20 individuals making as many as they can. There's a group pretty much that we're all trying to get together under one umbrella because there's a lot of noise right now. COVIDcommunityresponse.ie is kind of where we're all jumping behind. So if anybody needs anything, or if anyone wants to volunteer their help, that's where we're all going to try and have a single place to work from.
So, like, are you saying there is a kind of a 3D printing community in Ireland?
For sure. There was always a community which kind of were helping each other and troubleshooting, but honestly, everyone is coming out of the woodwork, whether it's engineering teachers or, you know, I had a shop or a factory and we have one here, how can we get involved? And literally everybody, it's a very Irish thing, I think, where everyone's kind of coming together in solidarity.
Right.
Trying,
do you know, like, funny thing is, I just mentioned there, like, you know, that one of the things you need, or the thing you need, is 3D printers. But I mean, there's also the polypropylene, or whatever you called it earlier, and the acetate,
sure,
and 3D printing filament. I mean, all the raw materials, if that's the right phrase, is it?
Yeah, like, honestly, across Ireland, we're running out. I'm going to be out of material. I'm waiting for delivery by Monday. There's people across the country who are sharing the materials that they have. But, you know, if there was a company who had polypropylene or acetate available that we could use, anyone who had access to a laser printer who could cut these down so we don't have to do it by hand would massively speed up the process. Honestly, between 3D printing filament, acetate and laser cutters, this would really help.
So anybody from industry has access to a laser cutter, and everybody is getting behind this, but you're running out of materials. So by the way, yeah, people have these materials and they can make contact with whatever way they want to make contact in terms of just trying to help. It's PPEdonationsIRE@gmail.com. In other words, PPE donations and then IRE for Ireland at gmail.com. Is that the address, yeah?
That's it. That's perfect.
All right. And by the way, the ideal goal obviously will be that industry will step in a few weeks' time, and then the 3D printing community, if you like, can step back, I suppose, and hand it over to the professionals. Would that be it?
That's it. That's our goal. So we're all just trying to do our little bit for the moment.
Right. And by the way, just to get on to something else entirely differently, just I know we're talking about 3D printing for medical staff, Dan Mooney. What else, or what were you a few weeks ago working on before all this had to happen?
I was working on an event for Riot Games. We had our kind of like the Champions League of computer games based over in Hungary. So that had to be cancelled. And we're all kind of working from home, just doing our little bits, catching up on work. And now for the next couple of weeks, I think I'm running a 3D printing farm.
Right, indeed. Absolutely. OK, so PPE donations, IRE at gmail.com. All right, listen, Dan, good man yourself, and congratulations, well done. And I hope you do get all the support you need. Dan Mooney, listen, Dan, thanks for talking to us on the programme. Good luck.
All right,
take it easy. Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.